We are 24 hours away from the start of A-Day. Can we officially say that football season is back? I think so. That is exactly what we're going to talk about on today's episode of the Auburn Daily Podcast. Joined us, as always, is our guy, writer for AuburnDaily.com, Andrew Stefaniak. We're back at it, taking a little, I'm going to say, much-needed pivot from basketball after some heartbreak we experienced a few weeks ago. Talk a little bit of football. Spring is it's the refresh. It's nature's restart, and that's what we're doing right here with football. Not only just with going from basketball to another sport, but I think football as a whole is going to see a massive restart this year. And I think we're going to break down on this episode just exactly what we're looking to see out of A-Day, what we want to see, and what we're hoping to see, and what should hopefully mean good things for Auburn this upcoming spring. Before we get to that, I want to do a quick shout-out to show sponsor Opelika Rage Room, with also the location Birmingham, the Birmingham Rage Room. Why we're bringing up a Rage Room right now? Because spring is like kind of a happy time. It's more daylight. Just everything seemingly is a little bit better. No, pollen. We're Rage Rooming for pollen. It's in my voice. I'm so congested. It's brutal right now. Dying. I'm going to a Rage Room and just thinking about pollen. If you guys are feeling the same way with allergies, I would definitely book a session. If you're in the Auburn, Opelika, and or Birmingham area, go check them out. Awesome sponsor of the show. You can check out their social medias at Opelika Rage Room or Birmingham Rage Room. Also their websites. Book a session online there. Go check them out this weekend. If you're sneezing and just pounded back allergy medicine and it's not working, that's the reason to get you mad this season, and that's what I'm experiencing right now. So I want to thank them for sponsoring the show, and let's jump right on into A-Day. So, Andrew, right out of the gate, going to ask you, you walk into Jordan-Hare, you sit down. I don't know if they are, but let's just pretend Cohen's got the brew serving. What are you circling on your list? Like, I want to see blank.
I'll tell you this. Well, first of all, I think we need to get in contact with the management over at the Rage Room and say, I think a good business idea would be some Yale, like, bottles.
That would
sell some product. So I wanted to toss that out there. I would go and do some damage. But when it comes to A-Day, I think that folks are more excited about this, in all honesty, because of the baseball team struggling a little bit. I think normally we kind of, you bridge that gap. It goes basketball ends, then we got baseball, and that's exciting. And then we kind of get into football. A-Day is always exciting, but I just feel like people are more stoked about it knowing baseball teams, whatever they are, 1-8 in SEC play. But when it comes to A-Day, what I am looking forward to see is three things. There's three things that immediately stand out. One is how well Peyton Thorne looks. And listen, this does not – A-Day doesn't matter, in my opinion. I think we'd all remember that. When I say that, somebody go, yes, it does. What I mean by that when I say it doesn't matter is things are going to change. This is a scrimmage. This is for the fans. It's not like we're not going to see probably the full 2 deep. That's kind of my pointer. I think everyone needs to remember that and not be super quick to judge. But I would love to see Peyton Thorne look good throwing the football. That you can still take away. If he's throwing ugly passes, he's not hitting receivers, folks can be concerned. That's one. Number two is I want to see how these young players in the secondary and in all honesty, the entire young guys on defense, I want to see how they look. You got a lot of young guys in the secondary, a lot of young guys in the front seven that we think could get some serious reps this year. I'd love to see how they look. And then finally, two words, I won't even need to describe it. It's just Cam Coleman.
And then we're going to leave it right there. Just Cam Coleman.
We're going to leave it at Cam Coleman. I think that leave it at that.
Well, I think you're right. Historically, A-Day has never been a great indicator of what to expect the following season. As much as I hate to say it, it serves two purposes. One, and first and foremost, it gets fans excited.
Yeah.
It gives fans who otherwise may not be able to get a chance to go to a football game, or especially those with younger kids that a whole football Saturday is a little too much. They can get the family down there and scratch the itch for the little kids that don't really know the difference. That's a great it's a fan thing.
Yeah.
And it's awesome. And we love it for that. Obviously, last year's was terrible with the rain.
Yeah.
This year, the weather's shaping up to be much better. But also, too, it kind of gives the players a little bit of experience, especially guys that haven't had that, just playing in the stadium in front of people, because there's a psychological element to that. You could scrimmage as often as much as you want to within the facility. It's just not going to be the same in front of people. So I think it lets the coaches see how do certain guys do under the big lights. On a smaller stage, but big enough to get the feeling there.
Yeah.
And I think most famously is 2010. I mean, Cam Newton did not do great in A-Day. And they were people who were definitely in their feels about that due to the hype. So obviously we know that that didn't go well. But you're always going to see a player in A-Day and you're kind of like, whoa, that guy who just completely falls off the map. I would expect a similar situation this year. They're going to preserve guys who they know are going to do well. So, for example, I think we feel pretty confident about what Jarquez Hunter is going to do. If Jarquez Hunter doesn't have a big A-Day, that is by design.
Yeah.
There's no need in running your main guy, your senior guy, just to the dirt. Because what is there to gain from that? The coaches know what Jarquez is. And the fans already know what Jarquez is. But what I'm looking forward to seeing right here, and there's a lot of things here, but I think one of the most important storylines of this is QB2. Mm-hmm. I feel 99% confident Peyton Thorne will go into this football season as a starter. I think there's just too many reports, just too much experience, just two other things there. He could do awesome 8A. He could do poorly 8A. I really don't think that's going to be any indication of what we're going to be seeing with the Peyton Thorne experience. It just is irrelevant. I think the most important storyline here is who is going to look like the second best quarterback. And then is there a gap between second and third? Because that could tell you a lot about what's going to be happening in the future. No matter what happens with Peyton Thorne, he's gone this year. Well, we're playing for 2025 here. We've got a quarterback room that is bolstered for out of these three guys that are in the room right now behind Peyton Thorne. Who's going to be the guy for 2025? Is it one of them? Is it any of them? Is it going to be a transfer guy next year? We don't know. So I think that is actually going to be a question that potentially has more answers that could have more future impact than a lot of the stuff that we see on the field. It also is worth noting the wide receivers are banged up.
Yeah.
Who knows what the passing game will look like? I think, yeah, you're right. I mean, Cam Coleman catches one pass and the place explodes and it's excitement. I don't care. It could be a screen pass. I mean, it just – people will go bananas when they see it. And Cam Coleman's a grown man out there.
Yeah.
He's a grown man. Now, I want to pivot to the other side of the ball real quick. Is there anything on defense that you've kind of got your eyes on that you're looking forward to maybe seeing or nervous about seeing?
A pass rush is concerning to me heading into the season. And I want to continue to reiterate, if we don't see a ton of pressure – you know, it's funny. It's like, which side of the coin do you want? Do we want to say, well, the pass rush is concerning? Do we want to say, ooh, the offensive line is struggling? You're playing your team. So
right.
One side might look great and one side might not. It's which would you prefer? I feel better about the offensive line than I do the defensive line. So defensively, the ability to get pressure on the quarterback. You know, DJ Durkin coming in from Texas A&M, his Aggies last season had 42 sacks. They were number one team in the SEC, number seven in all college football in sack total. Now, he had a lot more defensive line talent there than he does at Auburn currently. Now, you've got talent right now, but it's young. A lot of young guys. You know, Falk is a sophomore. Then you got all the freshmen coming in. You got some of the transfers. But for the most part, that's my concern. I think the secondary is young, but uber talented. We feel really good about our linebackers. With Asante, you got some veterans in that room, a lot of veterans, and a lot of young talent as well. I feel good about the secondary. I feel good about the linebackers, the defensive line, and then the, you know, the edge room. I forget what we call it now. What do we call it now? Instead of, we called it, what did we call it last year? I'm forgetting now that it was in Ron Roberts' defense. Jack. It was Jack last year. Now there's a new name for it, and I forget the name this year. But whatever it is, that position group, defensive line, interior, exterior of the D-line is my concern. And that's really, in all honesty, my only defensive concern for this team currently.
Yeah, and you're right. And that is one thing, and I'm glad you said that, because that's always one thing that's misleading about A-Day, is it either, wow, defensive line and pass rush are really good, or offensive line was really bad, or vice versa. You don't always know. Yeah. If there's one thing that Hugh Freeze and I have ever agreed on, is the fact that this needs to be a scrimmage against another team.
Yes.
A Troy, a UAB, some team you're not playing in the regular season and would have very little chance of ever seeing in the postseason. I think that's a win-win for everybody, because these teams know what's coming.
Yeah.
They've been playing against the same plays over and over again. They've been playing against the same guys. I think you get a lot more excitement from fans. I think you get a lot more excitement from both teams if you did some type of scrimmage like that. Bring in just a small team within an hour and a half drive of Auburn, and let them play like a real game. I mean, Basketball is an exhibition game before the season.
Baseball does it in the fall.
Right.
Yeah.
They do an exhibition game. I don't know why football can't do it. And the crazy part is everything is done around money. Oh, well, they're doing this because of the money. That would generate more money. You could put that on TV. People would watch it. You'd have a lot more fans show up, pack the stadiums out. You could get a little ESPN crew up there. You get on SEC Network. Man, my allergies are rough. If I sound as bad as I think I sound, I apologize to everybody out there listening, but fighting through it. Yeah, that's something that they need to do. But unfortunately, you know, maybe one day. But to Auburn, and what we want to see, and another thing that I'm looking for is I just want to see competency, and I want to see I'm trying to think of the word here. This is not the right word, but like maybe smoothness of the offense. Like, I want it to be smooth. I want it to look like they know what they're doing out there from a personnel standpoint to a signals, to play calls, to all whatever they're doing. Because there were a lot of times last year they looked confused. And how much of that was the chicken and the egg? Basically, Hugh Freeze and or Phillip Montgomery and or just the players. I think it's very easy right now to scapegoat a lot of this stuff on Phillip Montgomery. And if it turns around and looks a lot better than it has, there we go. Done.
Yeah.
If it doesn't, then... Yeah, we're, you know, we got to kind of raise the alarm a little bit here. But if they just are out there and they're looking competent, and also I want to see, we may not be able to necessarily tell or no one will really say it, but was Hugh Freeze calling the plays? Is he out there signaling stuff in? Because, like, you know, and most times he'll be walking out on the field with the clipboard and the headset and much more in the game than, you know, stuck on the sideline because it is A-Day. So it'll be interesting to kind of see where everybody's at. Will the coordinators be up in the booth? Will they be down on the sideline? How it kind of what everybody's role seemingly is. But I think we will be able to see the flow of the offense. How confident do they look like everybody is? And this is going to sound silly, but when a wide receiver's running out in his position, he's looking at the quarterback, does he seem like he knows where he's going?
Yeah.
Does he look like he knows what the play is? Does he take off the line confident in knowing this is the route that I'm running and I'm in the place I need to be? Is Peyton Thorne making checks or is he just staring down his first read? Those little things, because that was a big problem Peyton Thorne had, is it just, and I feel like no one talked about this enough, like, but me. But he just, if you'd watch him, and maybe it was just because I was shooting the games, and I just had a different vantage point than a lot of people on television. But like, if you just watched him, his eyes were just locked on wide receiver one way too much.
Yeah.
He did not have good check down movement. He did not fool the defense with his eyes. I don't know if he pump faked the ball one time, but if you get the point there, it's like there's got to be like a little bit of growth and maturity there.
Yeah.
Because if not, you're just giving the defense on a silver platter what's being run. But that's really what I want to see from another offensive side. Is there anything else that is on your list of, like, give me blank?
Well, there is, but first we got a little Auburn Daily Show breaking news.
Okay, let's go.
Panthers defensive tackle Derek Brown is signing a four-year, $96 million extension. That's $63 million guaranteed. So good for Derek Brown. That's pretty cool. Just came in via Adam Schefter moments ago. So
did you say breaking four, news. You said four-year?
Four-year, $96 million, $63 guaranteed.
It sounded like 40-year for a second, so I was about to say, if 40-year contract... He might pass his
prime in that deal.
Yeah, 40-year contract, well, that's great longevity. I don't know if that's enough money to play for 40 years.
Yeah.
But what he got there, that is awesome. Happy for him. I mean, it's just the Auburn process.
Yeah.
And... Okay, I got one more thing I did want to see, but I didn't want to jump steal your thunder. So that's awesome breaking news. So shout out DB.
When it comes to this game, I just want to see. There's been a lot of reports where we're dropping passes against air. Quarterbacks are throwing the ball, and it looks against air. Here's the deal. I'm gonna hit you hard with some facts.
Okay.
If the quarterback and receivers and tight ends are struggling against air, it's going to be really hard to succeed against an SEC defense. That's a fact. So now I've heard some folks, I've heard different things, and maybe it's one day they look good, one day they look bad, but you know, I just want to see some competitive throws. And the receivers, like, I feel great about Cam Coleman. I feel great about Bryce Kane. I feel great about Pray Thompson, who obviously won't be playing in this, but he'll be here soon. But can somebody step up now? Because here's the deal. 2025, that's great. I agree with Hugh Freeze on his, you know, that's the goal. We're going to really shine then. But I'd like to win now. I know, Alex, I know you would too. I don't want to lose this year. I don't want to, well, it's okay because next year. I'm tired of next year. I want to win, you know, I want to win 8 football games now. And I think receivers and the quarterbacks are going to have to step up. And that's not rocket science saying the quarterbacks have to play well to succeed. But, I mean, you haven't really seen great quarterback play last year, the year before. It's just this reality. I'd love to see great quarterback play at Auburn. And can you get that from Peyton Thorne? I don't know if I'm sold, but we've heard some positive things. He's really separated himself. That's good. I like to hear that he separated himself from the bunch. That's good. Your incumbent quarterback should be separating himself from the bunch. It shouldn't be like that unless maybe Walker White was taking over. But I just want to see. I mean, when was the last time we saw a receiver open in an Auburn football game? I can't remember. I was probably still in diapers, so like 2 years ago. But point here is, I'd like to see receivers open. So that's what I want to see.
I got another one for you on receivers. I want to see a 50-50 ball.
Yeah.
And not only just 50-50 ball, let me phrase that. I want to see a receiver get the 50-50 ball. We haven't really had a threat like that since Seth Williams was just a machine with it. And when he wanted to be. I mean, it was like the only way you get Seth Williams to like just guarantee a 50-50 ball was just like you talk a little smack to him and get him like pissed off. State. Like that. Yeah, like the Mississippi State guy did.
That was awesome.
And then Seth Williams just all of a sudden became the best receiver in the SEC for like that play.
I like when he mossed the Kentucky dude in the back of the end zone. The first game of the COVID
exact same thing. I think that guy was kind of talking smack to him too.
Yeah, living like in Lexington, that photo I'm not gonna lie, it's hung in my house. That where he's holding the ball over his head. I love that.
Yeah, the 2020 season opener. Right, and that just proves the point. Like Seth Williams, he could be that guy. We haven't had that guy since then. So I want to see a receiver, and I mean, maybe it'll be Cam Coleman, but I want to see that. Just that play be back for Auburn. All right, I'm going to toss you the ball, put it in the best position possible, and just let you make the play on it. That has just not been a thing in a long time. So that would be really cool to see. But what you said, the news about DB, I wanted to mention, it kind of made me think, oh, Malik Blockton. Like, I'm like, let's find like a young, raw defensive lineman who's just all of a sudden coming up and, like, oh, people are talking about him here. Are people like, I want to see that, but I actually want to see it live up to the hype. I want to hear the conversation and I want to see the hype behind it. Yeah. Somebody who came in, who obviously his younger brothers are Marcus Harris.
Yeah.
Has talent, didn't come in as highly touted from a recruiting standpoint, but can you go back to that word raw there? Somebody putting those pieces together and actually starting to show it and being a, wow, this is not only a pleasant surprise, but this person's really kind of living up to that hype we hope they'd had. And there's a lot of guys on the team that you could say that for that not as high profile names as like the Cam Colemans, but some of those guys who you've heard stuff about, but maybe not been paying as much attention to. I want to see at least one person come out and say like, hey, you're going to talk about me more now.
Yeah.
That would be really awesome to see. And then not only just for A-Day, I don't want you to be an A-Day Cinderella. I want us to roll that into the regular season.
Yes, that'd be awesome. Because that happens all the time. Even A-Day, but sometimes just spring Cinderellas. This guy's incredible. He's the best thing since sliced bread. And then, oh, where is he? It's September and October. I don't see him.
Right.
So I'm with you on that. And honestly, you're talking about wanting to see a receiver win a 50-50 ball. You know what I'd rather see than that? A receiver have 4 steps on his defensive back. And
yeah,
you know,
cool too.
Like that's what I'm saying. Like, you don't see it. I mean, Auburn receivers, I don't know. And I know that Auburn football historically is based on running the ball. When you have Caddy and you have Bo Jackson, you know, this is what you do. You want to run the football, but in your great, you know, running backs in this last decade. But point is, football's changing a little bit and you got to, you know, be able to throw the ball. And I think, you know, Thorne's legs is great. Auburn's running back's incredible. But I'd love to see receivers open because all that's going to do is make it easier on Thorne and open things up in the running game when you can throw the football, it makes it easier to run the football. I mean, that's just football. That's just the sport. So that's there for me. And then, you know, you made a good point, and I'll give an example that you talked about. Like, I don't really care what Jarquez does. And you're exactly right. If you're the coaching staff and you want to get fans excited, let Cobb do some stuff. Like, yeah, that's the type of player, a young guy that folks are excited about. Let a player like that shine. Cam Coleman, Jeremiah Cobb. Those are players that I think people are really excited about the future. Bryce Kane. That's who we want to see. So let one of those young guys that, you know, oh, this kid's the truth. This kid, watch out. Here we go. That's what needs to happen, rather than watching Jarquez run for 107 yards on 19 carries. I don't care about that, because I know he's going to do that when the season starts.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm not worried about Jarquez at all.
See Cobb bust a couple than Jarquez run it 19 times for 110 yards. Yeah.
Give Jarquez three carries beginning of the game. Just let him run it down the middle. Just keep him healthy. We know what he could do. Maybe get him a pass or two. I will say the one thing I would love to see Jarquez work on, and probably his biggest struggles, is catching the ball.
He was great, though, when Tank was here, which is so funny. He was great pass catcher when Tank was here.
Right. I want to see him get – I need to see it back, because last year that was not a strong suit of his.
Agreed, yeah.
That Georgia game, I mean, he just bobbled that ball. You can't do that. So maybe get him some easy routes, maybe put in a little wheel route. Let's do him on the flat, whatever. Let's see Jarquez get the ball in his hands. So the last thing I want to kind of talk about before we just close this out here is just going to be the quarterback deal. Not say a whole lot on this, because we have already talked about it, but you kind of teased it a little bit. And I think with Peyton Thorne, just to have him be average. And I do want to say this too. There has been a precedence in the past of quarterbacks taking a big leap there senior year, and not necessarily them. Maybe it's the system around them. Maybe it is the players around them. Yeah. But two guys I want to kind of circle here would be like Jason Campbell and Chris Todd, where Campbell has been romanticized because of what happened to that 04 season. But prior to that, I mean, there was a lot of controversy surrounding Campbell. And he came in his senior year and just completely rewrote his entire story at Auburn. And then a similar deal with Chris Todd. He comes in 08 as a transfer. Chris Todd's probably better comparable, all things considered. Comes in as a transfer, had an injury, did not do well as part of that 08 year. They get a completely new staff, new system. Obviously, that's Gus Malzahn's first year at Auburn. And Chris Todd comes out healthy and absolutely lights it up, just second year in the system. There is a real opportunity something like that could happen with Peyton Thorne. Is it him? Is it the system around him, just getting Montgomery out of there and getting everybody on the same page? Is just having a few better players around him? Or is it a little bit everything?
Yeah.
Or will he just be the same old Peyton Thorne, slightly better because everything's slightly better around him, and he's just an average to below average quarterback, which I think is fine. As long as he's better than last year marginally, I think Auburn's fine this year. I don't think it's going to take much. If he can just get over 2,000 yards passing, and a lot of that just – he's not splitting those reps of Robbie anymore. So
yeah,
it is the best case scenario. The worst case scenario would be some game middle, early in the season. It's just not clicking. He's doing that thing where he's getting just under or just over 100 yards. They can't get it going. And then at that point, can't blame Phillip Montgomery. Something's legitimately wrong. They toss Hank Brown in there or whoever. Yeah. That is like, as an Auburn fan, that's your worst case scenario. So
yeah.
I just want to tell everybody out there, like, it's awesome that they've got young, talented quarterbacks. You want them to develop. You need to look in the mirror. The hype of Walker White's awesome, but for him, realistic playing, just people need to research how often true freshmen play at quarterback at this level and succeed. Yeah. And you need to ask yourself, I'm a one-question poll here. Is this quarterback Trevor Lawrence? If the answer is no, they probably need to be playing as a true freshman.
Yeah.
There's a lot of Heisman-winning quarterbacks who didn't even touch the field as true freshmen. They didn't need to. So
yeah,
it's okay to let Walker White. It's okay. You could – two things could be true. You could be excited for Walker White, but also be completely happy and content that he is not going to play and he's going to develop and learn the game. And Walker White has said this. I heard it from him. Moaneers. He gets it. The coaches get it. So anyway, just people that kind of got that deal – and I'm going to say, as of right now, this opinion could totally change. Who knows, it might change Saturday evening. I still think Auburn is in the best shape with Peyton Thorne taking – it doesn't have to be a big step, just a little just average step forward. And they could do what they need to do and really just keep bolstering up for the future. But that's going to include all my thoughts for A-Day. Andrew, do you have anything else to conclude the episode?
I'm excited. I'm excited because this is exciting. And so while I'm telling you why I'm saying don't get overly hyped or overly concerned, enjoy it, everybody. I'm excited. Yeah. Everybody, you're allowed to be excited. What I'm saying, and I think you agree with me, Alex, is don't overly one way or the other from this. Yeah. You know,
don't overthink A-Day.
I'm not trying to be negative. I'm just saying, yes, don't overthink it. Enjoy it. This is fun because what does it mean? We're almost there, ladies and gentlemen. We are almost a football season. I can't wait.
And honestly, if there's something bad for A-Day, they have months to fix it. So yes. It almost is better for there to be something a little bad. Yeah, and the portal. That's right. That's right.
So that's what I say. Hopefully some of these young guys make some plays because that'll really let people buy into the hype. So that's what I'm paying attention to. And I'm really, really excited, just as I think everybody listening and everybody in the Auburn family is.
That's right. Well, guys, that's going to conclude this episode for the Auburn Daily Show, the A-Day Auburn Daily Show. We are, like I said, when this drops out, should be about 24 hours away. So if you're going there, take some pictures, tweet at us, let us know what you think. We'll be talking about it. We'll probably have a recap episode about this first thing next week. So, guys, we'll thank you all for tuning in. Make sure to check out Plains Coffee. Use that coupon code Auburn at checkout to get a 10% discount with that free shipping. The freshest, the bestest coffee ever. And that's going to wrap us up. So, guys, make sure to support the show. Check us out on wherever you listen to your podcast. Of course, subscribe to the Auburn Daily Show on YouTube. Check out what Charlie Fox got going on the Top Button Podcast coming out on here every Tuesday and Thursday. We'll be back to you next week from 8 a.m. I will be there. Have lots of good information on what we saw there. So, guys, thank you so much for tuning in, and we'll be back at you afterward. Have a good rest of your day.